So we're in Hilchot Deot Perek Vav Halacha Zayin. And as I mentioned to you last week, if I had to pick probably the most important halacha in all of Hilchot Deot, it is this one. All right? If I would pick a halacha in Hilchot Deot that it would be worthwhile for a person to learn Baal Peh, to learn by heart, it would be this halacha. Okay? So it goes like this. Pardon? Yeah. Haro'eh chavero shechata o shealach b'derech lo tovah. Person who sees somebody, notice that the Rambam says here, chavero. We'll get back to that in a term. Sees a friend, sees an acquaintance, okay? Who made a mistake. Or he's pursuing a path that's not good. All right? Mitzvah lachziro lemutav. It's a mitzvah to try to bring him back to a good way, to a good path. Ulahodio, and to be modia, we talked about this last time, to let him know, shehu chote al atzmo. B'masavarim, that he's doing himself an injustice. She'ne'emar ochech tochech et amitecha. It says, you know, you should reprove, you should tell off whatever your neighbor. Okay? So the first thing that you have to notice about this halacha, where does this start? Right? Where does it start? What happens here? How does tochecha begin? Oh, bokatov. How does tochecha begin? You have to see it. I don't think it's accidental. The Rambam starts. Pardon? Tochecha again is reproval. Okay, right? We spoke about, I think, last week that you're mochiach something. What are you proving? Do you remember what we said? What is it that you're proving? If the word lochiach means to prove, did we get to that? Right. You're proving that you care about this person, right? Because if you're willing to tell someone off, if you're willing to invest in them, it's only because you care, right? This halacha is about how I know that I care. So the first thing is you have to see it. Like sometimes people are doing things and we don't even notice. You know, the opposite of love is not hate. It's apathy, indifference. It's when you don't care, right? So if somebody can be messing himself up, if somebody can be making a mistake, if somebody can be heading in the wrong direction and you don't even see it, like imagine you come to me and you say, you know, Daniel comes to me and says, listen, I'm really worried about Zevi. I said, why? What's the problem with Zevi? He starts telling me why, you know, he's doing this, he's doing that. And I have no idea what you're talking about. Right? Nebuch, right? And I have no idea what you're talking about. Something's wrong. Like, you could make a decision not to do something. You can make a decision to do something. But if you care about someone, then you should be able to see that something's wrong. Okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is, in order for this to apply, it has to be chavero. You have to be connected to him, which is what we talked about last week. Right? You can't give tochecha to someone that you have no relationship with. Okay? Right? Some stranger walks into the Beis Medrash and sits down, and he puts his feet up on the chair. And let's say we have a rule here, we don't put our feet up, and then he has no shoes on. And then he starts smoking a cigarette, right? So you want to let him have it, because who's this guy to come in and start smoking a cigarette with his feet up and no shoes, no socks, right, in the Beis Medrash? But you don't know him. So you can't. It's not just that it's not a good idea. You literally cannot give him tochecha. What you will say will not be tochecha. Now, there are those rarest of individuals who are on such a high level, and they so exude love and affection that they're able to get the tochecha very quickly because they're able to develop almost an instantaneous relationship. Okay? There are people like that. We call them tzaddikim, where they care so much about their fellow human being. It's like themselves. Most of us are not on that level. But you have to be mechubar. You have to be connected to him. That's what a chaver is. Okay. The second thing, obviously, is shechata. The third thing is shechata. That you see it as a mistake, right? The first was that you see it. The second is that you're mechubar, you're connected, he's a chaver. The third is what you're seeing. Now, this is interesting. So, shechata, yeah?
Just about the first one again.
Yeah.
Harai obviously means that you are aware and compassionate enough to notice it, but it also, I think, could be that's what it's including, but I think it could also be disincluding that you heard about it. Let's say I hear that Daniel's going around kicking cats in the robot, but I don't actually see it.
Oh, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. I like that. Never thought of that. Very good point. One second.
Add a little commentary.
That's a very good point. From Benu Michael, yeah. I think that's a very good point. I got to think about that. I think when you hear about something, there's a different process until you're ready to give tocha. You're right. It doesn't mean you ignore it.
No, but it's less actionable.
Right. Like, let's say, for example, I'm having, a meeting with the Madrichim. and they're really worried about one of you because, I don't know, whatever it is, doesn't matter. You know, sleeping every day until 3 in the afternoon. And I'm in America, right? So I don't see it. But if all three madrichim are telling me, listen, I'm worried about a boy. He's sleeping till 3 in the afternoon every day. He looks depressed, whatever it might be. So I can't ignore that, right? And at what point do you assume, right? Maybe if you trust someone else who sees it, does that mean only he gives tochas? That's already a halacha question. But you have to see it. Okay. What's really interesting here is, osha halach b'derach l'otobah. Let's say, for example, let's take an example of a chait. You're walking into a supermarket. We're on our way to, I don't know, Tzfat on Thursday. And we walk into a, you know, like one of those pundak mayans or whatever it might be, right? And you see one of the guys, chas v'shalom, lo aleinu, right? And he's walking out of the store and takes a quick look around, takes a candy bar, puts it in his pocket. Seems to you that he just shoplifted, right? Now, you don't know this, right? You don't know this. Maybe he paid for it, and his looking around had nothing to do with his taking the thing, but you have a sneaking suspicion that maybe he shoplifted, okay? So you've now seen someone. And let's say he's one of your good buddies, so he's chaviram, right? And you believe that he's chotei. So that means that theoretically, if you have enough of a relationship with this boy, you're ready for tochacha, right? So that's one example, right? And we have to see what you do then. Another example is something very different. Shehalach b'derech lo tovah. You don't see a guy, and this is an interesting question, how do you define this? You don't see a guy that's actually taking something, but he's hanging out with a group, and you know that they're known in the Rova as the shoplifters, right? They're just the shoplifters. And he hangs out with them, right? And you think to yourself, you know, I don't know if it's so good. Like, instead of him being in the Beis Medrash, he's always out with the shoplifters, right? So he's Holech b'derech lo tovah, you know, Oy l'rasha'i l'shcheino. If a person, is consorting with people that are negative influence, right? That's very hard to define. The Rambam seems to be suggesting that you can sense when a person is headed in a direction that's not good for him, and that should bother you too. Obviously, how you give tochacha, we're going to get to in a second, but those are two very different experiences. Yeah?
Do all these apply for women and for girls as well?
Yeah. No difference. There's obviously certain differences in how you give tochacha between a man and a woman, between a man and a man, for all sorts of obvious reasons, but other than that, no. Right? Okay? There is a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, and that's a detail. The halachos still apply in certain ways, but not the same way. You're not obligated necessarily to give tocha to someone who isn't Jewish because you don't have the same obligation to them. That doesn't mean that it isn't a mitzvah to do it and a good thing to do, but you might not be mevatel mitzvah tase if you didn't do it, right? You might not be missing a chance for a mitzvah. Okay, right? So now this is interesting. So first of all, there's a mitzvah lachzirah lemutav. You have to know what the mutav is. If you don't know what the good space is, there's not much you can do, right? We mentioned that you have to be modia, right? So now we're getting into the essence of tochacha. If I had to pick the two most important pieces of tochacha, they are the following, okay? In no particular order. The first is, look at this line, shehu chote al atzmo, right? The issue here is not that he's done a chet. It's not that he did something wrong. You see somebody being mechal Shabbos and it really bothers you. And you feel that you can make a difference, right? The issue is not that Shabbos has been desecrated. The issue is not that the glory of God has been profaned. The issue is him. You care about him, and you think he's doing himself a disservice. You think he's missing something. You think he causes himself damage. You see a guy, and he's sitting out in the rover, and he's, I don't know, doing drugs. So the issue is not that, you know, it's not nice to the people in the rover. The issue is not whether it affects the reputation of the yeshiva. The issue is that you feel you care about him. And he's damaging himself. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think the word lahodio, that you have to let him know, comes before shehu chote al atzmo, that he's doing damage or making a mistake against himself?
He knows he's doing it anyway.
Pardon?
He knows he's damaging himself. He needs to hear it from...
Well, first of all, he doesn't always know he's damaging himself. The guy who's Michal Shabbos has no idea that he's damaging himself. Maybe. Could be.
First of all, I know that you care about him.
Pardon?
First, you have to let him know that you care about him.
I think that's true. I think if you haven't gotten to the space where it's clear to him that this is coming from a space of I care about you, then you can't do anything about it. Right? Number one. Number two is how you let him know. Like, I think this is the biggest challenge when it comes to tochacha, because people use language very often without realizing it, they could be deprecating, could be condescending, could be arrogant, could be judgmental. You don't get anywhere with that. You don't get anywhere with that, first of all, because to most of us, that type of language doesn't help, doesn't speak to us. And second of all, because it's off. It's just not the way to communicate, yeah?
So, back, like, the one, what I'm so confused about is, like, back to the case where, let's say, someone walks in here and puts their feet up on the desk and stuff
right.
like that, or, like, first day of class, you're giving their shares to random people, and one guy just, like, wants to cause a problem for no reason. Not because
right.
he has anything against you. So,
right.
you, what do you do then? Because you don't know him.
I'll tell you what I do. I make myself a note that I have to very quickly develop a good relationship with this guy.
Good.
Because in order to give him tocha, I have to have a good relationship, and I can't give that to him on the first day.
In the meantime, would you ask him to take his feet off the desk or to...
It would depend on the circumstance. The only way I would ask him immediately to take his feet off the desk is if I saw it was annoying other people. And then I'd have to figure out a way afterwards. And by the way, in that circumstance, it might be that that's the wrong way to give tocha, and I might know it's the wrong way to give tocha. That would obligate me after class or later to go chap him. And try to catch up with the relationship. Let's say, listen, you know, I hope you weren't offended, and, you know, it's nothing personal, I don't even know you yet, you know, it's just like we have a custom here, but, you know, if I embarrassed you, I feel terrible. Like, you can do that too sometimes. Sometimes you have no choice, right? Like, if you're giving a lecture to 250 people and somebody's doing something that's really annoying everybody else, sometimes you may have to point it out because you have 249 people that are losing a class. But you've lost with that individual when you have to go there without any relationship, 9 times out of 10. Make sense? Right? So you have to get to the stage where this person knows that you have a relationship, and you have to think of the language that will allow him to hear what you have to say. And if you remember in the last halacha, we said that starts with a question. Right? Usually it starts with either a question or a questioning attitude. Right? So now you're back to this store. And a guy, Misha just palmed a candy bar, and Shlomo noticed it. So what would you say? Seriously.
You know, set up person.
Well, what would be the first thing you would do?
Judgment center. Is everything okay, Misha?
Well, I think even before that, just an opinion. Like, you're all getting on the bus.
Go back and get back to the candy bar?
That's a difficult question. That's a difficult question. Like, how do you, because if you have a time limit, that's a good question. That depends on the situation. But sometimes you can't bring this up right away because everybody else is around. Like, you can't give tocha to a person if it's going to embarrass him. You're not going to get anywhere. So if you're all getting on the bus, right? You know, if you really cared, like if I saw my son, Chas Shalom, do something like that, right? The first thing I would do, right? We're all getting on the bus. I wouldn't embarrass him in front of everybody. I would go over to the storekeeper and I would say, listen, I just realized I took an extra candy bar and I didn't realize it. I'm going to pay you for the candy bar. There's no chiyuv to do that. There is no chiyuv to do that. That's just a smart thing to do. Right? What I wouldn't do is tell him off in front of everybody, or even take him aside and say, did you, like, I noticed you took the candy bar, because you could embarrass a person, other people could hear, whatever it might be. Okay, so let's say you're done with that. You know, you, the bus driver announces that there's a flat tire and you have to wait, or you get to another rest stop. So what would you say?
So I guess, ideally, you'd sit next to him on the bus, or walk with him on the side.
Yeah.
And just say, like, I saw what you did, and is everything all right?
Still missing an important point, which isn't necessarily here, we're going to get to it. You have to ask yourself a question first.
Am I doing this to help him, or am I doing this because I just think it's not right?
Okay, that's one question. Like, do you care about him? Yeah? What else? I'm thinking of another question.
Can I give him to my father?
Pardon?
Am I in a place, like, the relationship also with where I am, I don't really think say it's... What's it called? Maybe shoplifting. You think it's something you have a problem with yourself. You also hang out with the shoplifters. Can you then tell him you shouldn't have?
Okay, that's actually Gemara in Erechin. The Gemara in Erechin says, the Gemara in Erechin and Daf Tet Zayin. Rabbi Chiya says, Mesupakani am besafek, whether anyone in our generation, mind you, this is Rabbi Chiya's generation, you can only imagine what he would say about ours, right? Is on a level to give tocha. Why? Because I'll tell you, right, tul korah mibeninecha, take the beam out from between your eyes, which basically means, look what you're doing wrong. And you'll tell me, tul kisam mibeninecha, or yeah, we'll take the toothpick out from between your teeth. In other words, you know, I'm going to tell you you're doing something wrong, look at all the things I do wrong. In other words, am I at a stage where I think that I'm ready, right? And what does that really mean? What am I looking for? What do I have to believe I know? I could be right, I could be wrong.
That you're
If I took Yonatan aside, if I found the right time and I took him aside, what do I believe I absolutely know?
That he did something wrong.
Pardon?
That he did something wrong.
No, I don't know that at all yet. I haven't had a discussion with him yet.
What you're doing is the right thing to do.
Maybe he's trying to do something.
Very simple. Much simpler.
He's trying to get something out.
Pardon?
There's something that you're missing that you need to find out about him.
That could be, but that's not my biggest question.
Am I giving him the benefit of the doubt?
You always have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. Let's say you have. Let's say you give him the benefit of the doubt, but you still want to ask him the question. Pardon? Nope. And I want you to know, it's not an accident that nobody yet has come up with this, because this is the piece that most people miss. It's a critical piece in Tocha, yeah? Is the person ready to receive Tocha? And on a deeper level, do I believe he's going to listen to me? See, when I would take a risk with Yonatan, because I'm convinced that if I say it the right way, Yonatan will listen to me. That's the relationship I have with him. Right? I don't know. On the first week of yeshiva, I don't know that you're ready to listen to me, so I'd be much more careful about giving Tocha. Pardon? There's no difference between the army and personal life. It's the same question. Well, in the army, it's a little different. It's not quite begeder tochacha. The army is a little. The army sets itself up as a framework that it's understood that a commander is going to, you know, yell at a guy for not doing something, and that's part of the system. And you know with absolute certainty that if you do it right, that you'll get to a point where everybody gets that you were a commander and you had to do those things. You don't have the same challenges in the army most of the time. It's a different framework, right? But, you know, there could be issues of tocha. You would have an issue of tocha in the army, not if it's one of your soldiers, but if one of your fellow commanders. Sometimes you see a fellow officer doing something and you think they're making a mistake. Do you think they're ready to hear you? You know, it could be something as simple as talking Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara in the army is a huge problem. Huge problem, because that's what you do. You sit and talk about the Chayalim, you talk about the Mefakdim, and if you constantly try to stop people from talking Lashon Hara, you'll have no relationship with your fellow officers. It's a very difficult problem that you have. A lot of halachic shadows, right? But you have to believe, I think even you have to know, that this person's going to listen to you. If I saw, and look, I could be wrong here, but the issue is not whether I'm right, the issue is whether I think I'm right. You'll find out whether you're right when you give the tocha. But I believe that if I saw one of you guys doing something wrong, right, and I took you aside and found the right framework, I believe that you'd be willing to listen to me. I'd have a hard time imagining you wouldn't be, right? And conversely, there are some things that some guys here do that I don't talk to you about because I'm not sure you're ready to listen to me. Does that make sense? This is very important. Yeah.
This is like a little bit of a different example.
Gotta get a hug. Gotta get out.
I also have to separate the tarot. I need to get out.
Oh, wow. Don't worry.
I'm so sorry.
No, no problem. Come on in.
Sorry, yeah.
No problem.
Sorry.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah, sorry, you were saying?
I was with my grandma over the weekend.
Yeah.
She had a store in Chicago. She was telling me a story of one time she saw a 15, 16, 17-year-old trying to shoplift in the store. So she approached the girl and said, "Look, I know what you're doing. All you have to do is come over to me. You don't have the money. You just would have had to ask me, and I would have let you have it. But you're doing this stealthily. Like, imagine if I would have called the police right now, and they would have gone to your parents.
Right.
This just, there's no reason for that. You should have just came over and been respectful." And then the girl left. Put everything back in the shop.
Right.
And my dad then was in college, like a couple of years later, two years later. This girl approaches him.
Yeah.
And she said, your parents own this store. And my dad's like, yeah. And she said, well, your grandmother changed my life.
Wow.
I've never shoplifted since then. My grandma didn't have like a relationship with this girl. Like, didn't know who she was.
So remember what I said at the beginning? That there's certain types of people that are able to be makrin. They're able to no problem. They're able to exude that relationship in a very short amount of time. Those people are rare. So your grandmother might be one of those people. Right? That's first of all. Second of all, sometimes you're in a situation where you have to say something, but it's not necessarily pure tochacha. In other words, shlach lachmacha al pnei hamayim. You know, you can put out the bread, you know, you don't know if you accomplish something. You know, the other question is, when you're not sure, okay, and you put it out there, right, what's the downside? Like, what's the downside? Like, imagine that it's not somebody taking a candy bar that I can just fix. Imagine, and that would be a huge issue for me. Because someone, look, think about it. If any student here stole a candy bar from a store, like the amount of money that a candy bar costs, there just isn't anybody here that couldn't figure out a way to buy the candy bar if they wanted to. So that means that person has a problem. That's a theft problem, a kleptomania problem, which could haunt them and ruin their life down the road. So if you really care about this person, you have to find a way to do something about it, right? Okay? Sometimes you're in a situation where it's not so much about that person. Like, let's say somebody says something terribly embarrassing and horrendous to my son. I don't know, Yair. And really embarrasses Yair at the table. And I don't say anything. And now I've got a dilemma because I don't think this person may be ready to hear Torah from me. But on the other hand, if I don't say anything, then my son interprets it, perhaps, as I don't care enough about him. Sometimes you're in a dilemma. Sometimes you take a risk because you care about one person. You take a risk on another person. Sometimes you can find a way to manage both sides. So if you're a storekeeper and somebody's shoplifting from you, right? So it's reasonable for you to say, I have to figure out a way to get my item back. You know, you're not doing anything wrong if you call security and they stop this person. The desire to then see if you can give some additional wisdom that can make a difference in the person's life can never be bad, right? But the question of whether you're really ready to give tocha, et cetera, that's a whole different question, yeah?
Well, maybe in that situation with Yair, you take Yair aside.
Maybe, it depends.
But what if the situation is more like something, like let's say like someone steals a TV? You know, something a lot bigger where it's like you're not just going to pay the storekeeper 6 shekels.
Absolutely.
You know.
That's why I said, you have no chiyuv to do that. You have no obligation to do that.
Right.
You have to decide how much you care about the individual or whatever. Suppose I'm walking in a store and somebody pilfers something and I don't know this person. Right? So now, lo tamod adam reyecha, I'm standing by while an injustice is done.
Right.
If I don't say anything, I'm a party to that theft. So I would go over to the storekeeper, I would say, listen, you know, I saw that person put something in their pocket. I feel bad, you know, I just thought you should know. Then the store can handle it, however they handle it, you know, security, whatever they might be. That's an achrayus. You have a
right.
You have a responsibility to be a good citizen to whatever. But that's not tochacha.
Okay, yeah.
Tochacha is you're trying to demonstrate to this person that you care about them, that to try to get them back to a better path. Are you able to do that? So if I'm in New York City in some shop, so again, that's the question of my level. If I was on a very high level, I would take the afternoon off and I would sit with this person and talk to him. And why do you steal? I never came from a broken home. How can I help you? Maybe we can find you a job. Like, there are people on that level. I'm personally not there, but you could be on that level. But in terms of the obligation to tochacha, if you already decide you're going to give tochacha, these are the rules. Do you see it? Do you care about a person? Does he know you're doing it for him and not for you, right? Sometimes you're in a situation where even if you have a relationship with a person, you're not convinced that he knows that you're doing it for him, you know? Like, let's say I tell a boy, I don't know what's a good example, I tell a boy to, I don't know, boy walks in here in ripped jeans and a ripped t-shirt and, you know, whatever, right? And he's sitting in the basement, right? And I think, like, you know, Nebuch. Like, this person doesn't realize that he's giving people an impression of him. And he's a good neshama, and he's a good soul. And I have a relationship with him. And I want him to learn, like, dress like a mensch, and people will treat you like a mensch. That's important, right? But I'm afraid that if I say something to him, he's going to think that the only reason I'm telling him that is because I care about the yeshiva. Because I don't want people walking in, or maybe YU is walking in that day, and I don't want to give a bad impression to the yeshiva. So even if I have a good relationship with him, that might impair my ability to give him tocha. So I might decide not to say anything, right? Because I'd rather wait until YU is gone so he doesn't think I'm giving the tocha because of YU. Right? Sometimes I might decide, no, you know what? The impression of the yeshiva is also important. I have a responsibility. It's a delicate balance. Life is not simple. But at least the question should be there. Okay? Hamochiach et chavero ben bedvarim shebeino leveino ben dvarim shebeino leveino makom tzarich leoch licho beino leveino atzmo. This is what we were saying. If you're going to tell somebody off, whether it's benon lechavero, like he wronged you in some way, right? Or did some benon lechavero issue, or whether it's seen in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you see a guy eating a cheeseburger, right? Like, I think most of the guys here are ready. Like, if I was walking through the Rova, right? And, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good example, and, a guy was eating a pork and cheese sandwich. Middle of the Rova by the Kotel, right? So we have enough relationships. So I think, like, chaval, after a year in yeshiva, a guy didn't get to the point where he doesn't want to eat a pork and cheese sandwich. So would I say something to him? Would I not say something to him? It doesn't matter that it's been on the makom. You still have to do it quietly. It has to be done aside. It has to be done personally. You can't just, you know, ream a guy in public, right? Okay? V'yidaber lo benachat uvelashon rakah. And you have to speak to him softly, right? You have to speak to him pleasantly. Now, we take this for granted, but there's a whole world out there that will rip a person to shreds when they think a person needs tochcha. Like, listen to the lashon of the Rambam. If you're standing on a street corner and someone's driving in Shabbos and you're screaming Shabbos, right? That's not lashon. That's not benachat. That's not lashon rakah. The Rambam Feresh says here, like, there's no point to doing it. That's just not what tochcha is supposed to be, right? V'yodio sheino melo el tovato, and you have to let him know. I'm only telling this for your benefit. Which, by the way, since we're using that example, if a guy's driving by in a car, you can't even let him know that it's only for his benefit. So there's no point to that tochcha.
Let me ask you,
yeah.
Why really is it that the Haredim and Meisharim think that's tochcha? Like, where is it that they got?
Well, first of all, I want to be clear. I don't think all the Haredim and Meisharim think that that's tochcha.
Someone who's screaming that.
There's a few individuals. I don't think it's a large population.
Do they really care, or is it because they actually have a bad state perception of what tochcha is?
Well, you have to realize those are two separate issues. In other words, if I'm going to down the kavshut and assume the best about a person, I'm going to assume that they care so much about Shabbat and so painful to them that somebody should drive through on Shabbat. And they care about also the neighbors and the neighborhood that they should feel Shabbat. And my children growing up there, I don't want them chas v'shalom to see a car on Shabbos, right? So let's assume that it's coming from a good space. Then I would call them misguided. I don't think they're wicked. I don't think they're evil people, chas v'shalom. These same people are volunteering in soup kitchens in the afternoon. And I don't judge the person. The action is misguided. That's just not what tochacha is.
Right. Well, let's say
by the way, one more thing. Just realize, you could have an individual that's driving in a car and he's driving through Meisharim and a whole bunch of kids are yelling Shabbos at him and he gets annoyed, but then he starts thinking about it. He says, why do they care so much about Shabbos? And then he has this whole thought process and starts to think, you know what? If they care so much about Shabbos that they're willing to stand out there and yell Shabbos, maybe I should check out what Shabbat is, as a result of which he becomes Shomer Shabbat. That still doesn't mean that that's a correct way of tocha. It just means that in that instance, Hashem put that form of tocha in this guy's face because that's what he needed to hear. But we have to have a recipe of what really is correct. That you can do something incorrect and it can lead to a good outcome doesn't necessarily make it correct. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mikey, you want to say something? Okay, right. Im kibel mimenu. Now, if a person received it, like you give somebody tocha, you know, Shlomi takes Misha aside and says, listen, you know, says to him, he says, hey, you'll pardon me? You'll pardon me? He says, hey, how's it going, right? He's got the candy bar in there. He says, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, what was, oy vey? And he pulls out the candy bar. He goes, where'd you get the, right? And you have this discussion, right? Like you figure out maybe a creative way to have this discussion, right? Or you say, gosh, I'm so hungry. And he says, oh, I have a candy bar. And he says, really, how much did it cost? And he says, says, well, I know why you don't know how much it costs, because then you get into a discussion, right? So even if you do that, and you do it all right, he might not be willing to receive it. So what do you do then? Im kibel menemutav. So if he receives, he says, you know, you're right. I don't know why I did that. I got to think about that. Great. V'im lav, yochichenu pav shnei oshlishit. If you really care about this person, like imagine that you know that a kid is doing, I don't know, a kid's drinking and getting drunk. And you know that that's a really dangerous thing. I mean, a boy's going off to college, whatever, and he could end up an alcoholic. It's a huge thing. So what, just because you told him once? Just because you told him once? So if you're not close with him and he gets annoyed with you and whatever. So it could be that at a certain point you can't be mochiachim. But let's say you're able to have a good dialogue. He still doesn't change. What's he give up? Would you give up on your own kid? You wouldn't give up on your own kid. But again, that doesn't mean that you lambast him. It means you have to find this way. It's a lot of energy to give tocha. A lot of energy. V'chein tamid. You have to be willing to give tocha until the point, and this is a big debate, is it when he hits you, or up to the point that you realize that he's getting annoyed and then there's no point? Pardon?
Yeah.
I remember that's what Rashi says.
The Mishnah Berurah. We actually spoke about this, you may remember. It could be in Rashi, I just don't know the Rashi. But we could look it up, because it's in Kedoshim, in Vayikra, Tzayin, right? But the Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion of this, which we mentioned briefly when the parents were here. Do you remember? We were talking about Erev Yom Kippur. Do you remember this discussion? Maybe B'ezrat Hashem next year I'll bring it in, right? But the Mishnah Berurah seems to imply it's ad. In other words, you don't have to actually get him to hit you, but you see that a person, like, you know with your kids when you're pushing their buttons, when you're not, you know. Sometimes I'll give tocha to one of my kids, and then I'll realize they're getting annoyed and it's upsetting them, and I'll just let it go for a while and I'll come back to it. I don't stop just because they got annoyed. But if I get to a point where a kid gets so angry, so then I got to let go. Like, you don't want chasram, especially as a parent, you don't want chasram to get your kid to a point where he wants to slam you. I mean, I can't imagine that happening with my kids. But if it would, that would be a sign that this isn't working, right? And whenever you have the ability to prevent the person from doing something wrong and you don't, who nitpas bavonelo? If you know that someone's doing something wrong and you see it, and you have that relationship, and you could actually help him not do it, and you don't bother, then you now share the consequence of that iniquity. That's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. If you just ignore it, because you know what, you're lazy, whatever. So he didn't just shoplift, you shoplifted. Whether you're held accountable in a business is a different question. Because he can prevent them, right? He can prevent them from doing it. Make sense? Okay? I want you to know, I can think of no halacha where it's more valid to practice and to find the laboratory to be able to experience. This is a very, very difficult skill. It's an art. How do you make space for a person? How do you confront a person without being confrontational, right? How do you create the dialogue and when to let go, right? And look, you know, when you go to campus, you're going to have a lot of this. You're going to have a lot of this. And not dafka, you'll have some friends, and, you know, he might be Jewish, might not be Jewish, but you'll have some friend, and you'll meet him in a class, and he's going out drinking every night. And you know he's ruining his life. So you just ignore it? You just let him get drunk every night or whatever? You don't talk to him? You don't find a way? It's a lot of effort, because that means that you have to develop enough of a healthy relationship with him. You know, sometimes you don't want to develop a healthy relationship with him because you think he's a bad influence. It's a very difficult question. Yeah, Mikey.
Something that Levy brought up that we never really addressed. What if you either used to do whatever he's doing? Does that make it better or worse? Because then, you know, maybe you could get into the mindset and relate, or who are you to
reject? Listen, you may notice, as an example.
Second, yeah. You know, still doing whatever he's doing or not doing whatever he's not doing?
The first I can give you a direct answer. The second I can give you an opinion. Okay? You may notice that I've never given a speech. I've talked about drinking. I've never had a whole discussion with you about smoking. Because when I was in the army, I smoked. So I struggle. Like, who am I to give Musra on that topic when I did exactly that? Now, that doesn't make me right. Like, I've met people who are drug addicts who got out of it and they're the best ones to give tochcha. But you definitely have to be sensitive to the fact that if you've fallen, you know? Like, you know, on the other hand, for example, when I was your age, right? Certainly before I came to yeshiva, like, I would say until about the end of 11th grade, I had a pretty foul mouth. I knew when to say. I didn't, you know, curse in class. But, like, me and my friends, we would hang out, and I was like, I had a gutter mouth. You know, foul, filth, foul, foul, filth, whatever. Very funny, right? And there's certain curse words that if you say them, they just make a line funny. That's just the way it is, right? And that was me. It didn't bother me. And I'll spare you the details of when and how I decided to stop, you know, to stop that. Now I don't do that like that. You know, can't tell you that I've never cursed in the last 25, you know, in the last year, but it's not a regular thing, right? Like, I wouldn't sit in the basement and curse. So I was there. I'm not there. I could have a discussion with people about foul language. That's a sensitivity, right? But it's motivated by one thing and one thing only, which is, does my relationship with that particular chait enhance my ability to give tocha, or does it limit my ability to tocha? That just takes a certain amount of wisdom. You know, if I'm late to shiur every day, if every time we want to start, like, I try very hard to be on time. I don't always succeed, but I try, right? So I feel like I have a right, if guys are late, to say, listen, you need to be on time. But if I was late to shiur every day, so not only would it be ridiculous for me to be giving tocha and being on time, it would actually create a potential chilul Hashem. Because if I'm giving you tochacha, and yet I do it, what are you going to say? You're going to say, who is he to, right? So then you're denigrating someone who represents Torah in your life. Like, that can create huge problems. Of course, what does that mean? If you're in a situation like that, it's a wake-up call. You have to say, wow, I can't give tochacha to this guy because I'm doing this. I need to fix myself. And that alone is a healthy thing to pursue, yeah.
What about giving tochacha to someone who's going to need help? Let's say he's that guy from high school who picked on you. And if you try to give him tochacha, he's going to just probably laugh in your face. And like.
Then you're not ready to give tochacha to him.
Just let him go out there, be a drunk, get himself hurt.
Well, sometimes you can find someone else who can help him. But if you can't help him, you can't help him. You can try to develop a relationship with him. But what if he doesn't want a relationship with you?
Right, so maybe he's finding someone else who can help him.
There's a particular individual. He's actually a Rav. And he teaches in the yeshiva. And he's got an issue that needs some work, to put it mildly. And At a certain point, I had a chance to connect with him, whatever, on a plane. And I realized that this person has no interest in having a relationship with me. It's just not going to go anywhere. So I knew, and that was why I was pursuing, because I thought maybe I can talk to this person. And I realized it's not going to get there. Now, if I was willing to spend hours and hours and hours and weeks, could I get there? Maybe. But I have other responsibilities. I'm not giving up my responsibilities to you for this one fellow. So, okay. So then I just know I'm not able to give tocha. So I don't, because I think it would create a chilul Hashem. Make sense?
Yeah.
You have to know that. Okay? So next time we'll get to Bezot Shem tomorrow, Halacha Chet. Shkeich.
I have a question.
Yes.
There's a quick question. Is this about this?
I just want to ask this.
Right. Yeah. There's a quick question.